الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers, we spoke yesterday about the إخلاص of the كلمة and the importance of that إخلاص, because this is the differentiator between Jannah and Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the كلمة a witness in our favor and to give us Jannah without hisab, inshaAllah musta'an. Part of the ikhlas of the kalima is to believe in the essence of the kalima, which is La ilaha illallah, and to believe therefore that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluh. That there is nobody in creation, whether it's a living thing, whether it's a human being or a jinn, whether it's a celestial object, whether it's a planet, whether it's a star, whether it is a natural formation, a mountain or a hill or a river or a sea, that to worship, to believe that nothing and nothing, living or dead, is worthy of worship, is worthy of being worshipped than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. Part of this understanding is also to believe that nothing in creation fulfills any need except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand that nothing in creation fulfills any need. Neither the stars, nor the planets, nor good luck or bad luck, nor the universe, nor time, nor any concept. Nothing fulfills any need except Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Nothing is Rabbul Alameen. Nothing can fulfill any need except Allah. Nobody living, nobody dead. If we need something, if we have an illness, we go to a doctor, the doctor gives us medicine. The doctor does not give us a cure. He gives us medicine. If we need something for our lives, we ask. And to ask anybody who is living, this is jais. But we understand when we ask, that even if we ask them, when it comes, if the need is fulfilled, the one fulfilling the need is Allah, not that person. So part of the ikhlas of the kalima is to believe that no need is fulfilled except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye baat ka manna ke Allah ta'ala ke siwa koi bhi hajat rawa nahi hai. Hajat ka pura karna wo sirf aur sirf Allah ta'ala اپنی قدرت سے بغیر کسی کو شریک کرے حاجت کی تکمیل اللہ فرماتے ہیں. اس حاجت کی تکمیل فرمانے کے لیے اللہ تبارک و تعالی کسی کے محتاج نہیں ہے. اللہ تعالی کو کسی کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. نہ اللہ تعالی کو کسی انسان کی ضرورت ہے، نہ کسی فرشتے کی ضرورت ہے، نہ کسی جن کی ضرورت ہے، نہ کسی بھی مخلوق کی ضرورت ہے، نہ کوئی بھی قسم کی ضرورت اللہ کو نہیں. اللہ بغیر کسی ضرورت کے حاجت کی روائی کرتے ہیں، حاجت کی تکمیل اللہ فرماتے ہیں. یہ بات کا پورا یقین کرنا یہ کلمے کا حق ہے. That Allah سبحانہ وتعالی fulfills every need without the interference and without sharing that with anything in creation. To believe this is the حق of the kalima. It is also the haq of the ikhlas of the kalima to believe that there is no one who can benefit and no one who can harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nafi' wa la dharra illa Allah. That nobody can benefit and nobody can cause any harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any benefit happens, it happens because it is the will of Allah. And if any harm happens, it happens because this is the will of Allah. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, in one Sariya, in one engagement, he was in a in enemy territory with a tribe which had not accepted Islam, and Khalid ibn Walid was in the marketplace and he saw a man who was apparently hiding something and running away. So Khalid ibn Walid radhiyallahu anhu grabbed him and he said, "What are you hiding?" So the man showed him a small bottle, and this bottle had some liquid. And the man said, "One drop of this liquid is enough to kill 10 people. So this is a very, very powerful poison, and one single drop is enough to kill 10 people." So Khalid ibn Walid said, "This thing can kill 10 people?" So the man said, "This thing cannot kill 10 people, this thing can kill the whole tribe. One drop of this can kill 10 people." So Khalid ibn Walid said, "This can kill 10, one drop can kill 10 people. And he said, "There is what we understand from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that except Allah, nobody can kill. That except Allah, nobody can cause any harm. And you are saying this thing can kill 10 people?" So the man said, "This is a very powerful poison. I am telling you, this one drop is enough to kill 10 people." So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu opened the cap of that bottle and drank the whole bottle. He said, "This can kill 10 people." He drank the whole bottle. The entire tribe became Muslim. They all came and accepted Islam on the hand of Khalid bin Walid with this one action. And this is the power of the kalima and the power of the yaqeen. So before you go drinking things, examine sure. And don't say that I told you to drink poisons. No. I'm just saying that this is the power of the kalima. The point of these stories is not that we go and blindly start doing, you know, stupid things. We need the iman of Khalid ibn Walid also. But I'm just saying, alhamdulillah, the point of this, we can take a lesson from this to say that if we have the yaqeen on the kalima, on the fact that no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything for us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect. Allah will protect, inshallah. So, لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. Nobody can harm and nobody can benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. This is the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not something which I am inventing. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba. And that is why you will find there is not a single instance of any Sahabi asking help from anything living or dead. Not a single. Find me one single authentic story from the Sahaba who learned the deen directly from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find me one single story. Nobody but nobody. There is not even a single story of any Sahabi going to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asking for a favor. Not even that. It's because of this same thing that in the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the tree in Hudaybiyah under which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken Baytul Ridwan. He had taken the bayah from the Sahaba and he sat under a particular tree. Tahta shajar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Allah mentioned the tree in the Quran. Allah said, under the tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I have forgiven the sins of those who gave the bayah to the Nabi under that particular tree." In the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he noticed that people going to Makkah and returning from Makkah, they used to pray under that tree. So what did Umar ibn al-Khattab, what did he do radiallahu anhu? He got them to cut down the tree. Imagine, Umar ibn al-Khattab, now did Umar ibn al-Khattab understand the Quran more than me or you? What is our... Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu understood the Quran better, or we understand the Quran better? He got them to cut down. The people were not worshipping the tree. Please understand. And in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the people were not worshipping the tree. They were not standing there and asking the tree for anything. They were simply praying under the tree, making dua under the tree, because this was a, you know, it was a Mubarak thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this tree and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bayah under the tree. So they say, alhamdulillah, it's a good place. But Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had the firasat to understand and to know what is the likely development of this over the years. And you know and I know, if that tree was there today, people would have been making tawaf around the tree. Eh? Why did they do that? Why was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu so rigid and so strict? Because they understood the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, if somebody does that, you will say, Wahhabi. Was Umar ibn al-Khattab Wahhabi? You should ask this question. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was Wahhabi. These people were muwahideen. These people, and it's not only Umar ibn al-Khattab, all the sahaba, all the ulama ul haq. Alhamdulillah, in this country we had many. Sayyid Ahmad Sirhindi rahmatullah alayhi, who is called Mujaddid al-Fisani, Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi, and his sons, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi. Not one, there's so many I can name, muwahideen, who stood for tawheed without any compromise. No compromise. Why? Because la nafi wa la dharra illallah. No one can harm and no one can benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow inshallah we'll talk about why the harm and why the benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get any pleasure from randomly causing harm to anybody. No. We bring it on ourselves. So we'll talk about that tomorrow inshallah. Today, with respect to ikhlas of the kalima, let us understand this. That the ikhlas of the kalima consists of believing these two things or three things. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah. That no one grants anything except Allah. That no one can fulfill any need except Allah. And that no harm and no benefit can come from anyone or anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.